and the world, we actually engage with them. So we're taking Jesus seriously, as he's revealed in Scripture, the Word, and we're also engaging with the world. And we're being expecting to be changed by that engagement, both Word and world together. I've already thought about Word and worship. This is Word and world. Your local church might need to change beyond all recognition if it is to become kingdom-focused, says Michael Duncan. Your local church might need to change beyond all recognition if it is to become kingdom-focused. And, whose perfume have I got? Is it yours, Sandy? Excuse that for... It's probably you. It's the roses, maybe. So the church will change, and the church will need to change. And none of us necessarily copes well with change. Michael Duncan is the leader of FaithWorks, which is the project, really a massive project that came out of Oasis. He's now pastor of Gold Hill Baptist Church in Bucks, and he's author of a book called Kingdom Come. The local church is a catalyst for social change. You may think you don't have money to buy a book. You can buy a book like this for 0.01p on Amazon. It'll cost you $2.80 for postage, but you can get more or less any Christian book that's been remaindered. There's no excuse for not investing in things that are worth reading. And there really isn't any excuse now for not investing. And you can borrow, and you can lend, and you can think, and I can think, because we need to engage with God's Word, the Bible, and we need books that will help us to do that if we can read. And people that recommended that to me are 83 years of age and 79, John and Dorothy Davis, who sold their property in Frinton and moved up to Bethnal Green 9 years ago. And they're going to come at some point and share their story, how in their 80s and 70s, God challenged them to come to where the people are and to move out of a comfortable place, a beautiful place like Frinton, and come and live where it's really happening in East London. And they recommended it to me, so there you are. The old can encourage the young. Okay. Change. We must ask, says Michael Duncan, the hard and uncomfortable questions of meaning, credibility, and purpose. And at the same time, we must remain true to the good news that we believe, the God who loves us and the Saviour who has won our hearts. We need to ask uncomfortable questions. How are we going to be seen to be credible in the world? How are we to know what our purpose? Now, we live in a world which is constantly changing. And I am aware the older I get, the harder that is to deal with. The pace of change over the last 10 years is amazing. And many of us will struggle to understand the change, let alone keep up with it. But we must do our very best. The internet has changed everything. For example, shopping. I've just given you an example. Amazon has just announced that the sales of their e-books, so if you have a Kindle or something like that, have exceeded their sales of hard books and paperbacks. And the e-book came into existence just in 2007. The power of change is amazing. Ah, you say, I don't use the internet. That's not the point I'm making. It has changed the world, even if we don't use it. And so too, the coming of Jesus into the world has changed everything, even if people don't understand it or acknowledge him. And we are going into the world, aren't we? Every day of our lives, hopefully, and recommending to people on the basis of what we've discovered that they begin to discover Jesus. Come and buy without money. Come taste and see that God is good. We're going out there into the world. And we're not really to go so much with an attitude of not approving, but really with an understanding of what the world is about. And the Spirit of Pentecost pushes us out onto the streets where the people are. And that is what the day of Pentecost is all about, as far as I can see. The Holy Spirit pushing us onto the streets and into the world, not away from the world. You know, not God take me to a nunnery, but God push me into the world. And even the nuns and the monks are getting out there, you know, have always been out there in the past, but get into the world. And the Spirit of Pentecost tells us there is a time to get out of our cars, to get out of our houses and flats, to get out of our PC world, and to get out of our offices, and to go into the world to witness about Jesus. And many of us will engage with the world in the courtroom, in the classroom, in the shop, and in the office, and on the street, and in the bus. Good. We are being pushed out there, not just to earn a living, but to bear witness to Jesus Christ. And as we see from our Bible passage, Jesus literally took his disciples into the streets, into the cities, into the villages, into the towns. He, Jesus, the Word of God, took his disciples into the world to learn and to engage and communicate God's message. And it is going out and doing mission that changes us. We talk about change, and we've talked about engaging with the Word and in worship, but it is also in engaging with the world that we are changed. And it can be for the better, not for the worse. All right? It can be for the better as we engage with the world. And when we think about streets, and we think about the stories that have excited people about the streets, Malcolm Duncan tells a story of what he and his wife Debbie observed on the steps of a church in Rome. He's very clear about the date, October the 7th in the year 2000. Some people in his church had collected together, like you did for Uganda, and sent him and his wife on a weekend away to Rome to have a really nice weekend together. And he asks the question, why do hospitality and holiness go hand in hand? And as they were going out for a really nice meal on the second day and working out what they would have and the time together, they were walking through the night. They tried to go to a wonderful concert in a very large church, which was ornate and beautiful. And as they listened to the first people, they realized they weren't quite in harmony singing. So there were 1,000 people there, and they decided they would slip out, that they weren't really going to spend their time in Rome listening to a choir that was slightly offbeat. And the only trouble was, they said 750 other people decided to slip out quietly after the first number. But they slipped out, and they decided they would go and have a meal. And they saw some people on the steps of a church who'd lit a fire, the parents and some children. And they'd been in a beautiful, ornate church, and then here in another church, because Rome is full of them, was a family lighting a fire. And the mother was trying to feed them out of rubbish bags, going through the rubbish bags and finding the bits of bread and scraps and whatever, and handing these to her hungry child. And they stood on the other side of the road and had the discussion and decided they would have to spend the money, you know, they were going to spend on a meal and take this family out to dinner. But too late, they suddenly observed two Catholic priests, all in black, zooming around the side of the church with these two black leather bags, like medical bags, and hats on as well. You know, men in black. And they came out, and they came up to the people and hugged them. And they first one opened his bag up and took out a Primus stove and heated it up, and a pot of food, and cooked the food. And they watched them eat together. And he nibbled some as well, the priest, with them. And then he put it away. And the other guy opened his black bag and pulled out, presumably, what was a Bible, and read something from the Bible. And they saw the heads bow and they prayed. And they went off. And this was one of those events that changed this man, Malcolm. Now, the other people didn't know they were being watched, but he and his wife watched this. And it made them really consider the power of the church to change communities, to be with people. That sort of, and it's one of those moments in life that he says it's changed him ever since. It led him into faith works and so on. But more than anything, it convinced him that was where doing theology, doing mission was really happening, was on the streets, not particularly in that ornate church building where people who already knew God or were at least searching were, it pushed him back to the streets. So that's Malcolm's story, or Malcolm and Debbie's story. And in the passage we read about the story of James and John, their story and the other disciples. And we think about doing theology, the place where word and world engage. We are changed when we learn to put into practice the things Jesus teaches us. You see, doing theology is not just done in colleges or in churches. Understanding how God works and God's mission in the world really happens out there as word and world engage, and we are in the middle. We're listening to the world with one ear and the word with the other, as John says, and it's from that that we do our theology. We work out how it all hangs together and how God is actually doing it. Now, James and John are named, not from the passage that we read, by Jesus, as the sons of thunder, Boanerges. And they say, shall we call down fire from heaven to destroy them? And Jesus' response is very clear, no. Now, some translations, not the most accurate, the oldest ones, actually add the phrase, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. And also they add the fact, shall we do this like Elijah did? You know, when he called down fire at Mount Carmel to consume the altar and the offering of those who worshipped Baal. But those would have been things that later scribes added, so they're not in the oldest version. All that Luke's original version says clearly is no, and it's a rebuke. The other things are in the trend and the spirit of it, but they're actually probably added by scribes. But this is the story of James and John and the rebuke of Jesus. We remember very clearly that Simon was given a nickname, a second name, by Jesus. What was the name that Simon was given?
Peter,
Petros, okay. The rock. He was hard, he was determined. We're told that in Mark chapter 3. But few of us remember that he named James and John Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, or it means really men of tumult, those of you that are all chewed up inside and very angry. Because they seemed to get angry like a fire flaring up. And they wanted to incinerate the Samaritans. That's what the message says. They wanted to incinerate the Samaritans because they didn't offer Jesus hospitality. It's in our encounters with the world in mission that we are changed. And it was in this encounter that Jesus demonstrated and taught them that they needed to be changed. Now, if we just stay at home or in our churches or our colleges, mixing with people like us, the plus people, we will scarcely be changed at all. And we will bring around very little change in the world. And we're called to be agents of change. We're called to be salt. We're called to be light. We're called to be transformers in the world. Now, the Samaritans refused hospitality because Jesus was going to Jerusalem and they worshipped in Mount Gerizim. And the feud between the Jews and the Samaritans went back many years. And it was a two-way prejudice. As far as I know, most prejudices are. They are a two-way street. The Jews and the Samaritans hated one another for racial reasons, for political reasons, and for religious reasons. James and John, as Jews, had been influenced by the way the Old Testament had been taught. And particularly this remembrance, as I've said, of Elijah calling down fire from heaven. 9th century, but it was still before Christ, still influencing them. So they took the traditional prejudicial attitude against the Samaritans, and Jesus took a contrasting attitude. Now, he'd been welcomed to speak to the woman at the well and the village of Sychar. That was a Samaritan village. But he wasn't welcomed here, so he moved on to the next village. It's just the contrast that's amazing. You see the fury of the fundamentalist who wants to call down fire from heaven or plant a bomb, and the non-violence of Jesus. We live in a day of salvation, not a day of judgment. That will come, but we live in a day of salvation. The dispute between the two peoples just focused in on where God was worshipped. So for the Samaritans, the northern kingdom of Mount Gerizim, the Jews, it was in Jerusalem, and Jesus was going to Jerusalem. This meant that they wouldn't offer Jesus hospitality, because as far as they were concerned, he was doing something that was fundamentally and religiously wrong. Josephus, who's a historian, notes that the Samaritans were prepared to ill-treat and even murder Jewish pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. So it was a two-way prejudice. And these things grow, don't they? So James and John had faith that they were with Jesus, and so they could call down fire from heaven to destroy those who refused to welcome Jesus. You might have heard similar things. People say, oh, we should just knock down all the mosques in Britain. Funny, I thought God gave people freedom of choice with consequences. Oh, we'll burn the Qurans. Who told you to do that? James and John had not understood the nature of Christ-like service and mission. Jesus rebuked them, no. The word stops us. The word tells us off. If we listen to Jesus, if we read his word, there will be times when we are rebuked about our behavior. Jesus showed a different way. It wasn't because he wasn't unique, he was. It wasn't because his message didn't clearly show one way. It did. He spoke with the Samaritans and he instructed his disciples to move out from Jerusalem and Judea into Samaria and to the ends of the earth, didn't he, in Acts chapter 1? You are to move out and you are to go into all the world, the rest of the world. And in his parables, he pointed out that the Samaritans looked after their neighbours on occasions when the Jews didn't, the Good Samaritan. And they remembered to thank Jesus for healing them. Only one came back to thank Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. They changed the way they looked at people. Jesus changed their way. Terry and Sandy spoke about that. How actually engaging in mission, reaching out with the love of God, has made them change the way they think about other people. And I presume, therefore, the way in which they share the message. They still share the message, but their attitudes and their spirit towards others is different. So, it is as we move out into the world with Jesus that we are changed. Our wrong attitudes are challenged by the word. Now, I've often called some of you sons and daughters of Boanerges in this church when your anger has overwhelmed you. I said Boanerges because it makes you say, what's that? Or what's that? However you speak, because you all speak quite differently. I've often called you sons and daughters of Boanerges. Really, in some ways, it's not just because of the anger, but sometimes the thunder or the inner tumult, there's an old-fashioned word. I have to use it because it's the way the sea tosses up and about. And these men were men of inner tumult, deep anger, strong views, confused inner emotions like the sea. Jesus, let's call down fire from heaven. No. Our wrong inner attitudes need changing, and they need healing. We are probably the way we are because of the way we were raised. Okay? You can even blame it on your genes if you want, but that won't let you off with God. Jesus comes to change us. And it is in the doing of mission that we are changed. We're not just saying to other people, you need to change. We are being changed. And it is not helpful when people see the way we live and relate to others as inconsistent with that of Jesus. Our inner tumults, some of our agonies that flow out in an uncontrolled way, can hinder our witness and so can hinder our mission. And this day, as never before, our mission needs to be clear in its expression, both in action and in words. So the word, Jesus, as revealed in Scripture, has come into our lives. He is changing the way we think, we've spoken about that, the way we think, and he is calming the inner tumult. He's not making us totally passive and unreactive, but he's getting us to get our act together. So hopefully there is consistency in the way we behave. He sends us out into the world, and he doesn't wait for us to become perfect. And that's always an interesting question. At what point do you let disciples of Jesus go into the world? Well, the answer is they do it straight away anyway. So we have to equip people at all stages in their Christian life to give them more training through the word and example and experience. We go to bear witness and to bring about change, but we still have all sorts of tumult inside us. And some of us are very angry, and we could easily take that anger out on others. In this passage, you'll see that Luke goes on to talk about following Jesus, and Luke has chosen to put this teaching about discipleship here. It annoys some people that write about it that he's sort of put it in the wrong order, but he's done it deliberately for a reason, because he says these are issues about following Jesus. You're following Jesus into the world, aren't you? You're following him into the world because that is where he is at work, as well as the heavens. And if you want an easy life, says Luke, really, or says Jesus, because he's quoting Jesus, don't start to follow Jesus, because following Jesus will take you into difficult places. You won't always sleep on nice, comfy beds. You will have to meet people that you were taught to fear or dislike, as well as all the wonderful things following Jesus means that will be introduced into your life. And we are witnesses, disciples in the world. We're not tourists on planet Earth. Sometimes we will experience rejection. We are told that not everyone will treat us as returning heroes. That's what Simon Jones says in his commentary. Not everyone will treat us as returning heroes. Some will reject us and our message. We are calling for change, but we are being changed. How does it happen? Well, I suggested today that as we engage with the word Jesus has revealed in Scripture and the world, that change takes place. That's the medium in which it happens. We're calling for change, aren't we? We're saying, repent, change your mind and actions, because the kingdom of God is here in Jesus Christ. We're calling for change, but we have to be changed as we carry out mission. And there's so much we've got to learn. So much. But as we engage with the world, we're changed, we're refined, we're sharpened, we're moulded by the word, Jesus, as we are in the world. And if we only stay in safe places with people like us, we will probably be reinforced in our bad attitudes. We will have little huddles where we are not challenged, where we just pass on our ideas and our thoughts, and nobody says, hang on, is that really true? So we do need to engage both with word and the world. That's the way Jesus has designed it. He didn't snatch us out of the world. And I want to tell you, he's not going to snatch you out of the world now. You do know that we have to listen to the news, because somebody declared on May the 21st that the church would be raptured. Think about the terror of the people who were thinking about, I have to tell you, I just see that as absolute nonsense. The day will come when we are caught up into the air with the Lord to meet those who are already there. But it is not now. We do not know the date. My own view is that Christians will not be removed from all the trouble and difficulty. We are in it with everybody else. But for the sake of the elect, the Lord will shorten the days of difficulty. The rapture will happen, but we look foolish and stupid. We are an object of ridicule if we listen to these people saying, there's the Messiah, whoosh, here we go, you know, and drive in their cars. How foolish, how foolish, how foolish. We get on with what God has called us to do. We live each day as though he may come today. We are being changed, and one day we will be like him in the twinkling of an eye, but for the moment, we get on with being changed by him. Jesus did not let his disciples stay in safe places because he said, follow me. The Holy Spirit does not let us stay in safe places because he puts us with other Christians and takes us into the world, to places we have never been before, to encounter situations we've never met before, where the world is facing problems it's never faced before, to be there and to be different, and to be changed by engaging with the Word and the world in a positive way, not squeezed into the world's mould, but moulded by the Word and the world as we engage. This is doing theology. This is why I get excited. We are to do theology every day of our lives, to discover the will and purpose of God as we live in the world under the authority of Jesus the Word. It is exciting. It's for ordinary people, every believer. Praise God. Let's respond, shall we, to that call to change. And we just have a short time, so we're going to lead into a song.